ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Kamlesh ji has requested that this katha be on the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter number 3, entitled The Bhumi Gita. And it can be divided, from the way I see it, into several different sections. We will cover as much as we can. This third chapter of the 12th canto is towards the end of Shukadeva Goswami's instructions to Maharaj Parikshit. So kindly hear, as Sutta Goswami recommends at the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, when he is beginning his teachings to the sages of Naimisharanya. Sutta Goswami advises us to hear with rapt attention. So let us not have any disturbance. Let us hear it the way Maharaj Parikshit has heard it. All in favor say Hari Bol. Shukadeva Goswami said, "Seeing the kings of this world busy to conquer her, Mother Earth herself laughed. She said, 'Just see how these kings, who are actually playthings in the hands of death, are desiring to conquer me. Great rulers of men, even those who are learned, meet frustration and failure because of material lust. Driven by lust, these kings place great hope and faith in the dead lump of flesh called the body. Even though the material frame is as fleeting as the bubbles of foam on water, kings and politicians imagine, 'First, I will conquer my senses and mind. Then I will subdue my chief ministers and rid myself of the thorn pricks of my advisors, citizens, friends, and relatives, as well as the keepers of my elephants. In this way, I will gradually conquer the entire earth.' Because the hearts of these leaders are bound by great expectations, they fail to see death waiting nearby. After conquering all the land on my surface, these proud kings forcibly enter the ocean to conquer the sea itself. What is the use of their self-control, which is aimed at political exploitation? The actual goal of self-control is spiritual liberation." So this final statement of Mother Earth is very, very appropriate for all of us. The actual goal of self-control is spiritual liberation. Athletes, politicians, all kinds of people right now in the material world, they're doing all kinds of penances and austerities, and they try to control their senses. But their purpose is how to exploit, enjoy the material world. But Mother Earth is pointing out, no, the actual goal of self-control is spiritual liberation. This is the same message as the Bhagavad Gita. The whole purpose of human life is, as Prabhupada says, go back home, back to Godhead. That is complete spiritual liberation. Complete spiritual liberation is not becoming one with God, but it means being reinstated in our original position of service to God. That is the real purpose of self-control. Self-control is required, but what is the purpose? And Mother Earth has stated it. Spiritual liberation. Spiritual liberation means joining Krishna's association. As we heard when Prabhupada was speaking the purport to Jai Radha Madhav, he said the goal of this Krishna consciousness movement is to become one of the Gopi Janas. That is complete spiritual liberation. And that is what is being offered when you become a practicing member of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness. And therefore we chant, everybody, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Shukadeva Goswami then says, O best of the Kurus, the earth continued to speak as follows. Although in the past, great men and their descendants have left me, departing from this world in the same helpless way that they came into it, even today, foolish men are trying to conquer me. For the sake of conquering me, materialistic persons fight one another. Fathers oppose their sons, and brothers fight one another because their hearts are bound to possessing political power. Political leaders challenge one another. All this land is mine. It is not yours, you fool. Thus they attack one another and die. Such kings as Prithu, Parurava, Gadi, Nahusha, Bharat, Kartavirya, Mandata, Sagara, Katvanga, Dunduha, Raghu, Trinabindu, Yayati, Charyati, Shantanu, Gaya, Bhagirath, Kuvalashva, Kakutsta, Naishada, Nriga, Hiranyakashipu, Vritra, Ravan, who made the whole world lament, Namuchi, Shambhara, Bhauma, Hiranyaksha, and Taraka, as well as many other demons and kings who possessed great powers of control over others, were all full of knowledge. They were heroic, all conquering, and they were unconquerable. Nevertheless, although they lived their lives intensely trying to possess me, these kings were subject to the passage of time, which reduced them all to mere historical accounts. None of them could permanently establish their rule. So Mother Earth is pointing out the foolishness of trying to conquer and possess her. Even in modern Western civilization, so-called, you've had the Greek Empire, Roman Empire, you had the Spanish ruled for some time, and then you had, you come from Great Britain, and at one time they were so proud, the sun never sets on British soil, because they had possessions all over. Now, what's happened? And please don't hate me for saying this. America, its days are numbered also. They also think we are the most powerful. We are the almighty United States of America. But their time is coming up soon. Unless, as Kamlesh always points out, unless America surrenders to Krishna. Am I right? Unless America surrenders to Krishna, they are not going to last. Whether this president or that president, Mother Earth has pointed out, she has called all these kings fools. Why? Because they all thought we could possess. Shukadeva Goswami then said, O mighty Parikshit, I have related to you the narrations of all these great kings who spread their fame throughout the world and then departed. My real purpose was to teach transcendental knowledge and renunciation. That is significant. This Bhagavatam, that's what this Bhagavatam is all about. It is supposed to teach jnana and vairagya. Jnana means real absolute knowledge, and knowledge of what? God, the living entity, and our relationship with God. That's what Bhagavad, that's real knowledge. Real knowledge is to know who is God, who is myself, what is my relationship with God. That's real knowledge. And what is renunciation, vairagya, detachment? It means nothing belongs to me. Not even this body. No. Everything belongs to Krishna. That's renunciation. To know beyond a shadow of a doubt, to be firmly convinced and to prove it in actions that everything belongs to Krishna. Stories of kings lend power and opulence to these narrations, but do not in themselves constitute the ultimate aspect of knowledge. In other words, throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva has explained many, many kathas. And many of them were about kings. And now Shukadeva is pointing out, yes, I did that because it makes the narration more important, but he's now just revealed the real purpose. The real purpose of everything Shukadeva Goswami speaks in Bhagavatam is knowledge and renunciation. He continues, the person who desires pure devotional service to Lord Krishna. How many of you fit that category? I'll say it again. The person who desires pure devotional service to Lord Krishna. If your hand's not up, then by the end of this narration, hopefully I will convince you. Because that is the purpose. That is the ultimate goal of life. Pure devotional service to Lord. Lord Chaitanya says, Prema Pumarto Mahan. Love of God is the ultimate goal of life. The person who desires pure devotional service to Lord Krishna should hear the narration of Lord Uttama Shloka's glorious qualities. Everybody say Uttama Shloka. Uttama Shloka is yet another name for Krishna. Krishna has billions and billions of names. One of them is Uttama Shloka. Say it again. Uttama Shloka means that when the great devotees and saints and sages describe Krishna, they use very, very select words. They use the best words. Uttama Shloka. The constant chanting of which destroys everything inauspicious. That is the Hare Krishna movement. The constant chanting of Krishna's holy name. The devotee should engage in such listening in regular daily assemblies, and should also continue hearing throughout the day. Yes, in the beginning of Bhagavatam, there is this phrase, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Most people, if they're pious, that means not everybody in the world is pious, but those in the world who are pious throughout the world, okay, if they're pious, they go to temple, church, or mosque maybe one day a week for maybe a half hour, 1 hour. But Nityam Bhagavate Sevaya means 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, throughout your whole life. Nityam Bhagavata. That is the perfection of religion. To be constantly hearing and chanting about Krishna. Therefore, we chant the Maha Mantra, everybody. Currently, we have 12 devotees listening online. Everybody say Hari Bol. And they're from different parts of the world. Later, I'll tell you where they were from. We are now ready for part two of this chapter. If you're ready to proceed, repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So the next section in this chapter is about the four yugas. King Parikshit said, My Lord, Shukadev, how can people living in the age of Kali, who lives in the age of Kali, raise your hand. So Parikshit's asking this question for you. How can people living in this age of Kali rid themselves of the cumulative contamination of this age? Yes. This age of Kali is a contaminating age. Everything about Kali is inauspicious. At the end of this chapter, there is the famous verse, Kaler dosha nide rajan. My dear king, Shukadeva will say at the end of the chapter, this age of Kali is an ocean of bad things. Happening one after the other like waves of an ocean. Welcome to Kali Yuga. Therefore, Parikshit is asking, O great sage, please explain how people can rid themselves of the cumulative contamination. Please explain the different ages of universal history, the special qualities of each age, the duration of cosmic manifest maintenance and destruction, and the movement of time, which is the direct representation of the Supreme Soul, the Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. Yes, we learned in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 11. Arjuna was seeing the universal form. He asked him, Who are you? What is your mission? And Krishna said, I am time. And what is my business? Destroy. You all see that every day. You look in the mirror. Are you getting younger? No. That's time. Imperceptibly taking everything away. Shukadeva Goswami said, My dear king, in the beginning, during Satya Yuga, the age of truth, religion is present with all of its four legs intact and is carefully maintained by the people of that age. These legs of powerful religion are truthfulness, mercy, austerity, and charity. So this is something we should all memorize. So here are the legs of religion. Repeat. Truthfulness, mercy, austerity, and charity. The people of Satya Yuga are for the most part self-satisfied, merciful, friendly to all, peaceful, sober, and tolerant. They take their pleasure from within. They see all things equally and always endeavor diligently for spiritual perfection. So that's Satya Yuga, the golden age, the age of truth. In the next age, Treta, each leg of religion is gradually reduced by one quarter by the influence of the four pillars of irreligion. So now you're going to know what is irreligion. Lying, violence, dissatisfaction, quarrel. So let's learn these, not repeat. Lying, violence, dissatisfaction, quarrel. In the Treta Age, people are devoted to ritual performances and severe austerities. They are not excessively violent, nor are very lusty after sensual pleasure. Their interest lies primarily in religiosity, economic development, and regulated sense gratification. And they achieve prosperity by following the prescriptions of the three Vedas. Although in this age, society evolves into four separate classes, O King, most people are Brahmanas. In Dvarapara Yuga, the religious qualities of austerity, truth, mercy, and charity are reduced to one half by their irreligious counterparts, dissatisfaction, untruth, violence, and enmity. In the Dwarapara age, people are interested in glory and are very noble. They devote themselves to the study of the Vedas, possess great opulence, support large families, and enjoy life with vigor. Of the four classes, the Kshatriyas and Brahmins are most numerous. And Krishna appeared, when Krishna appeared, that was at the end of Dwarapara Yuga, when Krishna himself appeared 5,000 years ago. That was at the very tail end. In the age of Kali, only one-fourth of the religious principles remain. One-fourth. So that means Kali is three-fourths bad, irreligious. The last remnant will continuously be decreased by the ever-increasing principles of irreligion and will finally be destroyed. That's why at the end of Kali, Krishna comes in the form of Kalki and kills everyone. Because by the end of the age of Kali, there are no more human beings. They're two-legged animals. So they're so degraded. Krishna has no choice. These people are useless. Kill them all. Kalki comes. And then what happens? Satya Yuga starts. Just like we have, now we're entering the end of summer, we're going to enter autumn, followed by winter, spring, summer, the seasons rotate. These ages rotate. In the Kali age, people tend to be greedy, ill-behaved, and merciless, and they fight one another without good reason. And obsessed with material desires, they are unfortunate. The people of Kali Yuga are almost all Shudras and barbarians. So when you find that you can't get along with your neighbor, or you have a hard time relating to your co-worker, now you know why. Because in Kali Yuga, Most people are Shudras or barbarians. The material modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, whose permutations are observed within a person's mind, are set into motion by the power of time. When the mind, intelligence, and senses are solidly fixed in the mode of goodness, that time should be understood as Satyayuga, the age of truth. People then take pleasure in knowledge, in austerity. So, if you want to know what it was like in the age of Satya, all you have to do is take your pleasure in knowledge and austerity. If you live like that, then now you know what it was like living in Satya Yuga. O most intelligent one, Parikshit, when the conditioned souls are devoted to their duties, but have ulterior motives and seek personal prestige, you should understand such a situation to be the age of Treta, in which the functions of passion are prominent. When greed, dissatisfaction, false pride, hypocrisy, and envy become prominent, along with attraction for selfish activities, such a time is the age of Dwarapa, dominated by the mixed modes of passion and ignorance. And when there is a predominance of cheating, lying, sloth, sleepiness, violence, depression, lamentation, bewilderment, fear, and poverty, that age is Kali, the age of the mode of ignorance. We have finished two parts. Are you ready for part number three? If so, say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama.
Hare Hare. We gained some more customers. We're up to 14. Yes, you have a question? Bhumi Gita means the song of the earth, which was the opening section of this chapter. Bhumi Gita means, just like there's Bhagavad Gita, song of God, Uddhava Gita, Uddhava's questions to Krishna, there is the Gopi Gita, the songs the gopis sang the night of the Rasa dance. There is Shiva Gita, where Lord Shiva is instructing the Prachetas how to worship Krishna. So the Bhumi Gita, which we heard, the opening sequence, Mother Earth was criticizing all the kings and emperors and modern day politicians who think they can possess her. But they can be king only for a little time, and then, bye-bye. There have been so many kings. There have been so many empires. Mother Earth laughs at them. Because Mother Earth knows the only person who can possess her, Krishna. She belongs to Krishna. Does that satisfy you? Good. Part 3. Symptoms of Kali Yuga. Because of the bad qualities of the age of Kali, human beings will become short-sighted, unfortunate, gluttonous, lustful, and poverty-stricken. The women, becoming unchaste, will freely wander from one man to the next. Cities will be dominated by thieves. We have seen this very recently. Was it last year? There was one city in LA County The whole board was simply taking all the money. You remember that incident? I don't remember the city. But there was one city, the mayor and everybody on the board was taking all the tax money, putting in their pocket. Cities will be dominated by thieves. The Vedas will be contaminated by speculative interpretation by atheists. Political leaders will virtually consume the citizens. We call that rakshasas. They will simply devour the citizens. I'm not going to mention any names. But there is a particular candidate running for president. And his whole agenda is more tax breaks for the rich, tax you. You're not the super rich. What a plan. Let's give my fellow billionaires more tax breaks. You guys, you pay more tax. Don't vote for that demon. That's another topic. That's what you want? Go ahead, vote for that demon. The so-called priests and intellectuals will be devotees of their bellies and genitals. The brahmacharis will fail to execute their vows and will become generally unclean. The householders will become beggars. The vanaprastas will live in the villages, and the sannyasis will become greedy for wealth. Meaning, this description means these people will become exactly opposite of what they're supposed to be. Women will become much smaller in the size, and they will eat too much, have more children than they can properly take care of, and will lose all shyness. They will always speak harshly and will exhibit qualities of thievery, deceit, and unrestrained audacity. Businessmen will engage in petty commerce and earn their money by cheating, even when there is no emergency. People will consider any degraded occupation quite acceptable. Servants will abandon a master who has lost his wealth, even if that master is a saintly person or of exemplary character. Masters will abandon an incapacitated servant, even if that servant has been in the family for generations. Cows will be abandoned or killed when they stop giving milk. In Kali Yuga, men will become wretched and controlled by women. They will reject their fathers, brothers, and other relatives and friends, and will instead associate with the sisters and brothers of their wives. Thus, their conception of friendship will be based exclusively on sexual ties. Uncultured men will accept charity on behalf of the Lord and will earn their livelihood by making a show of austerity and wearing a mendicant dress. Those who know nothing about religion will mount a high seat and presume to speak on religious principles. In the age of Kali, people's minds will always be agitated. They will become emaciated by famine and taxation. This is why I always laugh. Because over the years, there's always the talk, oh, This party is promising no taxation, but I know better. Bhagavatam has already predicted there is going to become more and more taxation. It's the age of Kali. Can't avoid it. My dear king, the people will always be disturbed by fear of drought. Didn't that happen this year in America? Throughout the Midwest and all the crops, I read a report that food prices now around the world are up 10%. Why? Because of the drought in America. Why is there drought? Because they're not doing what we're doing, Sankirtan. People will lack adequate clothing, food and drink, and will be unable to properly rest, have sex or bathe themselves, and will have no ornaments to decorate their bodies. In fact, the people of Kali Yuga will gradually come to appear like ghostly, haunted creatures. Sometimes, when I'm driving home late after a program, and I'm stopping on the exit coming off the freeway, I see many homeless people. And you see some of them. They look so wretched. This description is exactly, they look like ghostly, haunted creatures. And I think to myself, that person, that could be me. I am this far, any one of us is this far from being like that. It wouldn't take much. We think, oh, everything's good, I got my good job, I got, yeah. You'd be surprised. That doesn't take much. Everything, you could lose everything. You could also. Therefore, if you want to avoid becoming a ghostly haunted creature, you had better take shelter of Krishna and surrender. Don't take this cheaply. This Krishna consciousness is saving you. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra one time. In Kali Yuga, men will develop hatred for one another even over a few coins. Giving up all friendly relations, they will be ready to lose their own lives and kill even their own relatives. At the end of Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's family got intoxicated. What did they do? They killed each other. The Moshala Leela. So you must be very, very careful. This is the age of Kali. Fathers will no longer protect their elderly parents, their children, or their respectable wives. Thoroughly degraded, they will care only to satisfy their own bellies and genitals. O King, in the age of Kali, people's intelligence will be diverted by atheism, and they will almost never offer sacrifice to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what we are doing here today, this is sacrifice. In this age of Kali, it is stated in this Srimad Bhagavatam, I'm not making this up, Shukadeva Goswami later on will say, the recommended sacrifice for this age of Kali is known as Sankirtan. That is the recommended sacrifice. Sankirtan. Sankirtan means complete glorification of God. Sankirtan means glorifying, describing, talking, chanting about Krishna. That is what is the prescribed sacrifice in this age of Kali. And it is specifically mentioned Krishna. It is Krishna Varna, describing Krishna. So we here tonight are doing the recommended sacrifice. It's called Sankirtan Yajna. I won't make that point. Although the great personalities who control the three worlds all bow down to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So those three, right? Brahma and all that, Vishnu and Shiva, all the demigods, they all bow down to Krishna. The petty and miserable human beings of this age will not do so. So we should not be one of the petty or miserable human beings of this age. We should. And doesn't Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita twice? Mam namaskuru. Doesn't Krishna say that twice? Mam namaskuru means bow down. Krishna commands it. You bow down and you offer respect. Now someone may object. What kind of God this is that he is demanding that I bow down to him? I've heard so many people in America, I bow down to nobody. Yes. And that's because you're a fool. You will bow down to someone called death. Can you conquer death? You think you're a big, big, powerful man? Ravana thought, what happened to Ravana? What happened? He got killed. Hiranyakashipu got ripped apart. So the answer to the question, why does Krishna tell us to bow down? It is for your benefit, not Krishna's. Look on the altar. Who's next to Krishna? If you bow down or not, do you think it matters to Krishna? He's got Radharani. He doesn't need you to bow down for his happiness. When Krishna tells us to bow down, it is for our benefit, not his. So don't misunderstand when Krishna says, surrender. He's saying that for our benefit, not his. Krishna is completely Atmaram, completely happy. Once there was a discussion that Lord Chaitanya was saying that even if one universe is missing, it's like a mustard seed. If you have a bag of mustard seeds, right? Those of you who have done shopping, how many mustard seeds come in a bag of mustard seeds? Too many to count, right? Anybody here going to count every? Hey, I paid for a bag of mustard seeds. I want to make sure I got every one. Are you going to do that? And if you open the bag and a few mustard seeds pop out, do you lament? No, because you got a bag full of mustard seeds. So even if one universe is discovered missing, you think Krishna cares? It's like, one universe, so what? It's not that he's going to miss it. So there are billions and billions and billions. You can't count the number of living entities. So if one living entity says, I don't want to surrender to Krishna, it's like, yeah, so what? No, Krishna is telling us to surrender for our benefit. Part number four. Are you ready for part number four? If you're ready, say Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All right. Let's see here. Okay. Part 4, the ultimate instruction. Wow. So you picked a good day to come. The ultimate instruction. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Here it is. Terrified, about to die, a man collapses on his bed. Although his voice is faltering and he is hardly conscious of what he is saying, if he utters the holy name of the Supreme Lord, he can be freed from the reactions of his fruitive work and achieve the supreme destination. Did you all hear that? You collapse. Even your voice, you cannot say it properly. But if you can utter the holy name of God, you can achieve the supreme... What is the supreme destination? It is called Goloka Vrindavan. Who lives on Goloka Vrindavan? Just Krishna, Radha and Krishna, and all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Just if you can say Krishna's name at the time of death. Just if you... Same thing Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. That if you can remember me at the time of death, you will come to me. That's another question answered. Why do I have to chant all the time every day? Ah, you're practicing. You're practicing. I've given the example a billion times. If you're an athlete, you practice hours every day to be an athlete. My grandson, he's trying to become an Olympic swimmer. So he swims hours in the morning, hours in the afternoon after school, so that he can compete. These athletes, they have to do so much practice and repetitions. And we are also spiritual athletes. We are practicing for this moment of death when you don't know when it's coming. Last Sunday, I had gone to the store to get some groceries. I was less than 2 minutes from my house. All of a sudden, I hear this sound. Boom! And I knew what had happened. Hare Krishna. I pulled off. And there was the back of my car, all dented in. Just like that. Here I was just 2 minutes from turning into my driveway. Boom! And you know that sound, because I've been in one before. You know what that sound means. But fortunately, I was able to remember the holy name of Krishna. That is why we are chanting every day, practicing for that moment. We are practicing for that moment when that final examination comes, that we can remember Krishna. But Shukadeva Goswami says, still, people in the age of Kali will not worship the Supreme Lord. In Kali Yuga, objects, places, and even individual personalities are all polluted. The Absolute Personality of Godhead, however, can remove all such contamination from the life of one who fixes the Lord within his or her mind. I got an email this week. Somebody I don't know. Somebody has seen. He's in London. He saw on YouTube the videos that Kamlesh did of the Bhagavad Gita, and also Kamlesh's different extras, such as hell and Bollywood and meat eating, your special things. So he wrote me and he said that he has watched these videos. He said it has saved his life. And then he was asking me how to become free, because he went on the internet and by accident he saw something very, very sinful on the internet. And he said he couldn't get it out of his mind. Reminds me of the Ajamil story. When Ajamil was coming home, he saw the Sudra and the prostitute, and even though Ajamil tried to get it out of his mind, he couldn't get it out of his mind. So the same way with this person, he had seen something very, 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 very sinful, but he couldn't get it out of his mind. He couldn't sleep, he said. So he wrote me and said, what should I do? I told him, first of all, get off the internet. Number two, take shelter of the Hare Krishna mantra. Every day he is to chant. Then I told him, if you're going to go on internet, then you watch Mayapur TV. But I told him he has to read Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, and every day he has to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Everybody. So he wrote me back after 3 days and says it's working. Yes, it must work. Shukadeva Goswami is also saying the same thing. That this remembrance of Krishna can remove any and all contamination. Shukadeva continues, if a person hears about, glorifies, meditates upon, worships, or simply offers great respects to the Supreme Lord, who is situated within the heart. So who is that? Who is situated in the heart? Who? Don't be confused. Nobody else. It is Krishna in the heart. Not some Baba. No. Who is in the heart? Yes. Krishna is in the heart. The Lord will remove from his or her mind the contamination accumulated during many thousands of lifetimes. That's how powerful is this bhakti process. If you simply take to it. So he said, hear about. Are you hearing about Krishna? Alright? Are you going to glorify Krishna today? Are you meditating on Krishna? Are we going to worship him? Or can we simply offer respects? Then that Lord who is situated in your heart will remove the contamination. But you have to do something. Like I hear sometimes people say, Prabhu, I will do this thing when Krishna tells me to do. No. Doesn't work that way. You have to make a move. Don't be so puffed up. Yes, I will do everything when Krishna tells me to. You're going to be waiting a long time. No. Krishna speaks to his devotees. Krishna's devotees are telling people, like what Shukadeva is seeing, hear about Krishna, glorify Krishna, meditate upon Krishna, worship Krishna, offer respect to Krishna. Then Krishna will purify you. Then Krishna. But don't wait that you're so special that you're going to wait for Krishna to personally intervene. It doesn't work that way. Don't be puffed up. Time is wasting. Just as fire applied to gold removes any discoloration caused by traces of other metals, Lord Vishnu within the heart purifies the minds of the yogis. By one's engaging in the process of demigod worship, austerity, breath control, compassion, bathing in holy places, strict vows, charity, and chanting of various mantras, one's mind cannot attain the same absolute purification as that achieved when the unlimited personality of Godhead appears within one's heart. Again, if you're waiting for that to happen, it's never going to happen. You have to make the first step. You have to do something. Then Krishna will appear. Krishna does not interfere with your free will. If you don't want Krishna, then Krishna doesn't interfere. So you have to make the first step. Therefore, O King, Shukadeva speaking to Parikshit, endeavor with all your might to fix the Supreme Lord Keshava, everybody say, within your heart. So, Shukadeva is saying what I'm saying. The Guru is giving instruction. With all your might, fix the Supreme Lord Keshava in your heart. Maintain this concentration upon the Lord, and at the time of death, you will certainly attain the supreme destination. My dear King, the personality of Godhead is the ultimate controller. He is the supreme soul and the supreme shelter of all beings. When meditated upon those who are about to die, He reveals to them their own eternal spiritual identity. This is very, very important. So if you can fix Krishna in your heart at the time of death, Krishna reveals to you your own eternal spiritual identity. How many of you believe Shukadeva Goswami? Yes. My dear King, here it is. Here it is, folks. The verse of all verses. My dear King, although Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, there is one good quality about this age. Here it is. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. The Sanskrit to this famous verse, Kaler dosha nide rajan, asti hi eko mahan guna, kirtanad eva krishnasya, mukta sangha parang vrajet. And notice, he says, Kirtanad eva Krishnasya. So it's the kirtan of Krishna. Keep that in mind. This week, in a place called Tampa Bay, they had different kind of kirtan, didn't they? I called it Rakshasa Kirtan. They were glorifying hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. That is my opinion of them. But Shukadeva Goswami is telling King Parikshit, Kirtanad eva Krishnasya. The kirtan of who? Is there any confusion about who Krishna is? Not in this house. We know who is Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Final verse, we did the whole chapter. I'll be 2 minutes over. Final verse of this chapter. Whatever result was obtained in Satya Yuga by meditating on Vishnu, whatever result was attained in Treta Yuga by performing sacrifices, whatever result was attained in Dwapara Yuga by serving the Lord's lotus feet, the same result can be attained in Kali Yuga simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Simply, that is the Hare Krishna movement. Therefore, I want to hear everybody chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra like you mean it. Three times is the charm. One more.